Turn with me in God's Word to Deuteronomy in chapter 32. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're reading the whole chapter. And remember last Lord's Day, we had the three witnesses talked about against Israel, or to Israel, including the law and heaven and earth. And then the other one was the song. And this is the song that would be a testimony or witness against Israel. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 32, these are the words of God. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. They have corrupted themselves. They are not His children. Because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is He not your Father who bought you? Has He not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your Father and He will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the place of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, He spurned them, because of the provocation of His sons and His daughters. And He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols, but I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them. I will spend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured with pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside, there shall be terror within. For the young man and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs, I would have said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men, had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversary should be misunderstood, or should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it is not the Lord who has done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. Is this not laid up in a store with me, sealed up among my treasures? Vengeance is mine, and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining, bond or free. He will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants and render vengeance to His adversaries. He will provide atonement for His land and His people. So Moses came with Joshua the son of Nun and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to carefully to be careful to observe all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Then the Lord spoke to Moses that very same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho. View the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, and the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. If you shall see the land before you, though you shall not go there into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. And those are the words of our God. The song which Moses delivered by God's appointment to the children of Israel as a witness and standing admonition to them to turn always from forsaking the Lord. It's found here in the majority of the chapter. And if we look through this song, we see the high character of God in verses 3 and 4 compared to the low and bad character of Israel in verses 5 and 6 and many other verses after that. Then through verse 18, we see the great things the Lord had done for them, for Israel thus far. And yet also, verses 19 through 35, a promise of judgment upon them if they continued in their sins, in which we are reminded that our Lord, just as today, is justified in judging His people if they continue in unfaithfulness. And then through verse 43, there's the promise of destruction of Israel's enemies and oppressors, along with the glorious deliverance of a remnant, a remaining people of Israel, in that last verse 43. And then 44 through 47, Moses exhorts Israel, reminding them to keep all the words of the law of God. And then the remaining verses is the death of Moses, of which he was able to see the promised land on the top of the mountain, but he did not get to enter the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey, because he sinned against the Lord. And because he sinned against the Lord promised you would not enter the promised land, but you would be gathered to your people. And that is the people of the Lord, of course. In Revelation chapter 15, there is the vision of the victory over the beast when the wrath of God is complete. And it says on such an occasion that they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, using similar language there as we see in verses 3 and 4. The enemy defeated as the Lord promised, they sing the song of Moses, which is a song of triumph over evil. And even it says in Revelation 15 that they sang also the song of the Lamb, the song of redeeming love. And that redeeming love, you see verses 32 and 33. Verses 32 and 33, the redeeming love, Jesus Christ at the cross. What awaits the wicked are these things. And yet these are the things that Jesus received at the cross. The bitter wine of judgment and the gall. And so we have, and they sing in Revelation the song of redeeming love. As we sing Psalms, the songs we sing in hope of that time when there is no more evil and no more enemies, when God's grace, by God's grace, we've been purified. We sing the Psalms which provide ample songs of triumph and ample songs of God's redeeming love to us in Christ alone. And there's only hope in obeying the law, because in the law, he says here, is life. Being delivered from our enemies is our hope as well. But for both of these, we need Christ. There's only hope found in Christ alone. And if you look to yourself, you'll find what Israel found: sin and rebellion and unfaithfulness, and for many, death. But if we look unto Christ, it is life, even He who fulfilled the law for us. And so that we might sing the song of redeeming love. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give You praise this day. We're thankful that You're a God who is great. That You are the God who is the rock, our fortress, our strong tower, the God who seeks vengeance upon the enemies of Christ, who are our enemies, and who will bring it about at the right time, even for some today. But in the final day, the final judgment, it will be complete and final for all eternity. And we look in hope for this when there are no more tears or pain or sorrows. Father, we pray that we would look in hope that we find in Christ alone for that day when there is no more loneliness, when there is no more struggle with the things of this world, with governments and with people who are of the world. Now, Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts unto You, that we would trust in You alone, that we would know with all of our being, if any here are lonely or any listening now are lonely, Father, remind them that that we have, as Your people, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that You are a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And yet, Father, You give great warnings to Your church today that if we break Your law and we continue in rebellion and we continue in unfaithfulness, that You will judge Your people. You will judge the church first, You say through Peter. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins. We have, and we confess now, we have been unfaithful in many ways. As individuals, we have been unfaithful in numerous ways, and breaking Your law in every single jot and tittle of it. For we have not loved You our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves, as you call us to love, as we're learning in Romans and throughout the Scriptures, you teach us how to love, just as Christ loves. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would turn us, even as a congregation. We ask that and plead that you would turn the church throughout the world from their sins, from our idolatry and going after other gods, even as we talked and heard about here in Deuteronomy 32. Going after another rock that's not the rock, and other gods that is not the God. Father, we ask that you would turn us all unto you, that you would cause us by your Spirit working in our hearts and your Word going forth, which is light to us, your countenance upon us. As you shine down upon us, rebuke us, but save us from ourselves. Save us from our sins in Christ your Son, who drank of that bitter judgment of wine there at the cross, of the grapes of judgment. Father, we ask that you would forgive us, and we know as we do so from our hearts, if we do so, as we do from our hearts, as we confess our sins, we are sorrowful of our sins, we are grieving over our sins, that we have sinned against you, the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, and the God who sent and delivered over His very Son to die for our sins. We have dishonored you. We have not been living sacrifices, holy and acceptable for you and to you. So Lord, forgive us. Give us those hearts we need. Those hearts, those confessing and grieving hearts. And Lord, if we know that you promise, if you, as you say in your word, if we confess our sins, you are faithful. Not we are faithful. You are faithful. And you are just to forgive us, even in Christ your Son, who died on the cross and shed His blood for us. That we wouldn't have to receive the judgments. And yet justice still met. Your righteousness shone through the death of your Son. May we not dishonor you in our lives today. Forgive us. And we know that you'll cleanse us. And you'll make us whiter than snow, which is a whiteness that we cannot comprehend, a cleanness that we cannot comprehend. But we look forward to it in hope that you will do so, even when you make us perfectly holy and perfectly blessed as we enter into glory. On that day when we draw our last breath and our bodies are buried in the ground. Father, help us to continue looking to your Son and the comfort and hope that we find alone in Him. Father, we are thankful that we are able to gather, that you have not closed us off from public worship. And so, cut us off from your blessing. We are thankful that you're continuing to bless us, your people. That you are continuing to speak your word to us. That you speak directly to us. And we are thankful for this. We ask that you would help us to trust your word, to believe your word, and not man-made things or the things of this world. We pray that we would not trust in viruses or governments or health officials, but we would trust in you alone. And then in those earthly things, Father, give us wisdom. Keep our bodies healthy. We plead that you would take this virus away, man-made virus that comes from you alone. We pray that you would take it away, that you would spare your children. You would spare your people. You would spare the many churches Father, help us to love you in everything, to serve you in everything, and to serve the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray for our government. As we consider our government, we ask that you would turn them unto yourself. You would cause them to love you above all things and all peoples. And they would bow the knee to Jesus Christ, that they would make rules and laws and orders that are in keeping with your word. And then, Father, we ask that you would, through their service to you, as you've made them God-ordained ministers, Father, we ask that you would put to death evil, the evil that we see with our eyes, and that you would call them to call your people to worship you in spirit and in truth, to love you and not turn from you. But Lord, give your church the boldness and the resiliency and the faithfulness to preach your Son, to preach the good news and your word. Father, we ask that you'd be with those who are not feeling well. We pray for Marissa. We ask that you'd be with her and Elijah. We ask that you'd be with any others who are not feeling well and who are maybe not here. Father, be with the people of our congregation, that you would protect them and provide for them and provide work for your people, your children who are out of work, many who are out of work. And we're thankful for the most part you have upheld us. And you have upheld us, even if we don't have jobs right now, you have upheld us because you are a gracious God. And yet for the few righteous who remain, Father, spare us from this judgment anymore. But if that not be your will, cause us to turn to you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.